Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply. Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply. When we stop working.
Well, hello and welcome to Crackin' Crime. I'm your host, Jamie Tilson, and I'm here every time with Seth Tilson.
Oh, so now you just announced me.
Do you want to say your name? Not anymore. All right, who am I here with?
Anyway, what are we going to talk about?
Just kind of stole that right from him. That was kind of good. Man, it's been a couple of weeks since we've done an episode, so it's good to be back in the studio. That's what this is. This is a studio. Yeah, it's great. It's great to be back in the studio and putting out some content for our viewers, our listeners. Check us out, YouTube. We're there also. Anyway, we definitely appreciate it. We got a fun one today. Man, we've been so busy with so many guests lately. We've been doing so much fun stuff. We had Larson in here with us a couple of times. Larson kind of started off a little trend with us there for a little while. Mm-hmm. And then we were just so busy doing so much stuff. And now we got busy doing other things. So, but man, we were with Motor Cop Chronicles. He was with us. We were with him. And then we had...
What's the other guy's name? The younger guy.
Yeah. I know. It's been a ton of fun.
It's been a long time.
It has. We've done so much stuff. So go check out all of our stuff that we've been doing here lately. I just did... it was Kai was one... Yeah, we were just with Kai. Love and Murder. Yeah, she was fantastic. What? We're there laughing.
A lot of people, we cannot remember their names.
No, we'll remember their names. Because we did... It was just our last episode with... It was the clam bake report.
The clam bake incident.
Yeah, he was a lot of fun. That episode was a lot of fun. That was the murder of Natalie Wood. Yeah, that was a fun episode to do. Terrible incident that happened to her, but a fun episode to do. He made it a lot of fun. Go check all those people out that we've been doing this with. I just got done doing an episode with Crime Over Wine. Not a big wine guy myself, but it was a lot of fun. I tried some wine. I actually really enjoyed the wine. Seth try the wine because I still had a little bit left. And
yeah, I mean, I'm pretty picky when it comes to wine because I'm a beer guy. But I could drink that, definitely.
Yeah, and that's why I told him on that episode that I'm more of a, like, if I am going to drink alcohol, I'm more of a scotch guy myself. Mm-hmm. Scotch and a good cigar is fantastic. And so, like, well, this summer we were out in Indiana and had a really high quality Johnny Walker. It was scotch, and man, that with a good cigar was just fantastic. That was really good. So, but to try this wine, it was very good. So when that episode comes out here in a few weeks, make sure you check that out. We'll keep you guys posted on all of our social media stuff. And so, but that was a lot of fun to do that episode. And then, like I say, go check everybody out that we've been, you know, doing all of this stuff with lately. It's been a lot of fun. Make sure you're checking out all their podcasts. They do a lot of work with us. We've done a lot of work with them now. Otherwise, go check us out on all of our social media, all the platforms, every one of the X, the Facebook. We're probably most active on Facebook, to be honest with you. And then Instagram, all of it, everything at Crack and Crime. We're on YouTube at Crack and Crime. And if you like what you're hearing, if you like what we do, go check us out on Patreon. We really got to, you know, get a little bit more stuff. One of the things was maybe some padding or something on the walls to quiet some things down, make the sound just a little bit better. I think the sound's great. We keep getting a little bit new stuff. But if you want to help us out, do all that stuff, go check us out on Patreon at Crack and Crime. We've got a couple of different pay options on there.
We should do a get us 10 followers, get 3 months free on Patreon type deal.
Yeah, we can do something like that.
We'll think about it.
Yeah, we'll think about something.
Still need to get that Taco Bell.
Oh, we're jumping right into that. Well, let's finish our Patreons real fast. We got Grandma 1, Grandma 2. Thank both of you so much for doing that for us. That's a lot of fun. Mr. Garcia, Sexy Mexi in Texas, another one of our guests. We need to have him on again soon. Thank you so much, sir. That's fantastic. And then what is the other one? Phelps Harvest. Check them out on Facebook. And I think they're only on Facebook. But that's Phelps Harvest. They're one of our Patreons. So go give them a check out and you know, let them know what they're doing on that. So otherwise, yeah, going back into all of our giveaways.
Yeah.
We've got a couple going on. So Garcia, dude, I'm not joking. That jerky is going to be in the mail. All right.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. And Mr. Mattson. Yeah. I've got this Taco Bell gift card for you. Okay. Don't you even fret. I ate Taco Bell too much. So what we started doing, what I've been so busy with for the last month, couple months actually, but the last month was really extremely busy because 3 nights a week we were doing football. You guys know him, Jacob. He's been out for football. I posted some stuff on our social media about him being out for football as well. And so he was rocking it, but he was 3 nights a week. So it was Mondays, Thursdays, and Fridays. We were out busy with football, chasing him around all over the place. And if he was getting tackles, because he's a big old dude, yeah. And so he's strong and he's doing pretty decent. So if he would get tackles in the games and stuff, we would do Taco Bell Tuesdays for tackles on Mondays. That was what we were calling it. It was a lot of fun. So I got him a lot of Taco Bell over the football season. It was fun. So, but I really like that. That's one of my, I almost started that as a hashtag. Yeah, Taco Bell Tuesdays for tackles on Mondays. It's fantastic. So, all right. Did you have something else that we were? Oh yeah, we're giving away Amigos still. So that one is
Matt's
new.
Deal.
That's Larson's deal. Everybody knows Larson. He's been on
a couple
times. I bet
nobody signs up for it. Why would they?
I mean, it's not Taco Bell. But
it's not.
I know. But and he's wrong about
Matt's
so many
just
things.
Not me.
Right.
Know?
And he's wrong. Matt's wrong about a lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I try to give the guy a benefit of the doubt, but he's wrong. So we've got an argument going right now. I'm not even going to talk about it right now.
He was hit in the head as a kid.
He was.
That's what I think it is. Yeah. You know, he might get hit again.
We've had a pretty serious argument going on now for, I mean, it's been a few weeks, and that's going to come to a head, but we're going to make that come to a head on an episode. Hopefully here in the next few weeks where we get him in here with us so we can have this argument.
And I will be
with
the mediator on that one. I don't care about either of the people they're both arguing for.
Right. But like, again, we're not talking about that one tonight. So, all right, without further ado, let's talk about what we're going to talk about tonight. So, since it's been so long, and there's been a couple of really, really good UFC fights lately, we're going to do crime in the UFC. Because, well, we've been talking about doing one of these episodes for a while, and we really like talking about the UFC. So we've decided that we're going to basically just go all in on an episode, and we're going to do some UFC stuff. So we're going to start out with the very beginning, when it started. Mr. Seth, do you know when the UFC started?
Oh, 90?
93. Yeah, you're going to have to get a little bit closer to that microphone if you want people to hear you.
I thought it was like 91 is when the first one came out, first UFC. When it was Fist and he had to fight several times a night. Just did a big tournament. Royce Gracie won like the first three of them.
So basically it was 93. So let's just jump in. Let me get right on the right screen. So they say that the founders of it is Art Davey and Bob Meyerowitz. Yeah, I can't say a bunch of these names. Yeah, Meyerowitz. But it was founded by a businessman and then a Brazilian martial artist, Rory and Gracie. So,
Gracie.
Yep, Rory and Gracie.
I don't know if it's Hoist's father or what relation he is to him, but I'm almost positive he's related.
Probably. So basically what I remember watching a documentary on it back in like the 2000s was. Because I remember watching some of the original UFC fights with old Tank Abbott and stuff like that. So, but it was Rory and Gracie, if I remember correctly.
Ken Shamrock was in it.
Right. Yeah, he was one of the original ones. Mm-hmm. Yeah, from, I believe, UFC 1. He was in that one. What they wanted to do, what the original idea was they wanted to just put together the best fighter. Didn't matter weight class, no rules. It was no holds barred, right? And then they slowly were like, well, I mean, there's a couple of rules. Yeah. Like one of the first rules that got enacted was two guys that both had ponytails were getting into a fight or into the match. And they were like, they agreed amongst themselves that they wouldn't pull each other's hair. So then those little things started to become. But I mean, at first it didn't matter. It was no holds barred fighting.
Everything goes.
Right. And again, no weight class. So that was kind of the kicker what they were saying was boxing is predominant boxing, right? Everybody knows the style, the fighting style of boxing. There's really only, you know, one way to do boxing. Yeah. I mean, there's a few different ways to do boxing, but I mean, it's a single fighting style. Mm-hmm. And then there's kickboxing. Well, then you just add kicking into it. And there's different little forms that you can have. And there's different.
And there's just jujitsu.
Right. It's like the difference is then for the martial artist stuff, if you think about it, there was never a real fight for martial arts, right? Mm-hmm. It was like little competitions and there was things like that, but there wasn't like a place where a jiu-jitsu artist could come in and beat up a boxer, right? So then they were there, and I'm guilty of being a huge boxing fan. I loved the art of boxing. When I was growing up, watching the great boxers was amazing. Like I remember all the Mike Tyson fights. You know what I mean? Like the Evander Holyfield, when he got his ear bitten off. We already did a Mike Tyson episode, which was a lot of fun to do that episode. We still challenge Mike Tyson to come on and talk with us. But I like watching all that stuff. My favorite of all time is Muhammad Ali. But again, the original thing, the idea was everybody's loving all these guys. And then a jiu-jitsu fighter or another fighting style is over here like, oh, I could kick Mike Tyson's ass. But they wouldn't let him fight in the same. So the idea was to put all the people together. They tried pitching a bunch of different ideas also. So there was ideas of it being in a stadium, but it was like on an island and there was a moat around it. Then there was an idea that they were on a little like cliff. So they had a bunch of different things, but octagon is what they settled on. So I thought that was kind of funny when I was reading this, that they didn't know how they were going to do it for the first one. So they had all these different ideas about like gladiators and, you know, and they settled on an octagon type ring. And so it starts and it's pretty popular. Like the first one, I believe was crazy popular, but And they still gained, but they didn't have much traction behind it, right?
Yeah.
It was its own thing. Essentially, nobody probably knew in 93 at UFC 1, what they deemed the Ultimate Fighting Championship, if people don't know what UFC stands for. But nobody knew that they were going to be creating a whole new class of fighting, right?
Yeah.
But that's what it starts out as, and then that's
literally
what it
is huge now.
Right.
You know, like, but I remember growing up that people were taking classes. I took classes to do jujitsu and Muay Thai and stuff like that. I used to go take classes with some of my friends. I had just a giant group of friends that's what they grew up doing.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just kind of cool how much it affected our culture and everything.
Oh, absolutely. Like, it's huge now. It's now, obviously, it's one of the biggest fighting styles out there. I feel like boxing has kind of gone dramatically by the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is. It's very one-sided. I still really enjoy the... But anybody that's a big-time striker, they're wanting to prove themselves in the UFC more than boxing. Now, what I will throw out there... but you know what? I'll wait, and I'll get into that when we get to that section. And then I'll talk about my feelings on the way that it is now. But so it starts out in the 90s as no holds barred, right? They slowly implement little things because too many complaints, many people changing things.
I think it was year by year a few rules would come. I think because the first year it was like nothing, and then the second year it was like no eye gouging,
right?
And something like there was a couple of them, and then you just kind of slowly got more.
Right.
And the next thing you know, there's weight classes and everything. And honestly, it was awesome to watch in the beginning. But to me, when it really took off was when the weight classes came in and they did the Ultimate Fighter, you know, the TV
series.
Right,
but you're so far ahead of where we're at right now.
I'll stop.
I know. Yeah, because you're jumping into, that's all in the 2000s. So there's controversy in the 90s because in 96, so let's see. UFC had an outside of the continental U.S. fight in Puerto Rico, which is still in the United States, it's a U.S. territory.
Mm-hmm.
And then 97, they were in Japan called...
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou. forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Ultimate Japan. That was the first really foreign event.
That was Mirko Krokop against that big Asian guy.
Yeah, it doesn't even say.
Mirko Krokop was one of the first ones. He was in the first few UFCs, and he was like an actual Russian war killer. Like, he was like a Navy, like whatever they have for Navy SEAL or whatever. No, no, not Russia. It was like Ukraine or something like that.
Oh, okay.
But he was like, he was in their military, and he was like a Navy SEAL. Like, he literally killed people. Like, Joe Rogan says, like, his favorite stare-off of all time was Mirko Krokop and Wanderlei Silva. Wanderlei Silva was this ruthless guy that was just knocking everyone out in savage fashion. And then Mirko Krokop comes back from deployment and goes in to fight, and they have, like, the stare-off. He said it was just nuts, watching, like, a real killer and a killer in the UFC. Then you see, like, Wanderlei, like, realize who he's in the ring with.
Oh,
and it was just really intense. It gave him chills.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Sorry, I'm a big UFC nerd.
No, and that's absolutely... Yeah, no, that's awesome. That's what we're here for, man. That's what we want to hear. So, no, I think that it's... So, as we get into 96, we start getting senators. Like, Senator John McClain saw a tape of the first UFC events. He found it abhorrent. He led a campaign to ban the UFC, calling it human cockfighting. He even sent letters to governors of all 50 states asking them to ban it.
But I remember now in third grade them handing out pictures of the politicians, and they had two Republican candidates, McCain and Bush. And I know why I circled Bush. I had no idea then, but now I know why. My heart was telling me. You're not going to like this McCain.
Right. Well, he got people on his side, man. There was 36 states enacted laws that banned no holds barred fighting, including New York, which finally ended the they enacted the ban on the eve of the UFC 12 fight.
Oh, really?
So the night before the fight, they enact saying, no, we're not going to allow it. So then they've got to move it to Dothan, Alabama.
Hmm.
Yeah. They continued.
I thought they were always Vegas.
They continued to air it on DirecTV pay-per-view, though its audience remained minuscule compared to the original fights that were much larger scale on cable pay-per-view.
Remember Spike TV? It used to be on there.
I do. Yeah, I remember when they were. But again, that's all Dana. So all of that stuff was 2000s, man. It was like they were just not getting traction. So they did it first because people tuned in. Like the same people that were watching Mike Tyson fight and all of that stuff, they were tuning in to No Holds Barred.
Tyson was either in jail then or retiring, kind of slowing down. And
he would have been in jail. When we did that episode.
Something to fill the void. All the big names are gone pretty much. I mean, right. You got two big names maybe, and they're only fighting once or twice a year.
Right, and then he comes back out. But then, yeah, but I mean, by this time, the era was starting, right? Mm-hmm. And then basically they kept trying to work at things. They ended up having to – so – it says matchmaker Joe Silva created a manual of policies, procedure, codes of conduct, and rules to help get the UFC sanctioned by the athletic commissions. A lot of those still exist today. It says Blatnick, McCarthy, and Joe Silva. But Blatnick and McCarthy traveled around the country educating regulators and changing perceptions about a sport that was thought to just be bloodthirsty and inhumane. So by April, their movement had made an impact, and then California was set to become the first state to sign off on a set of codified rules that governed MMA. And then New Jersey adopted it, and then it continued. But it still wasn't making a splash. I mean, they were still going, but they weren't making a splash. So it says they got its... what does it say here? Mixed martial artists, promotions working towards U.S. sanctioning. They secured its first U.S. sanctioned mixed martial arts event in New Jersey in September of 2000. Just two months later, it held its first sanctioned event, UFC 28, under the New Jersey State Athletic Control Board's unified rules. So 2000 is when the rules take effect.
I know from 28, in between 28 and like 90, it just blew up huge. Because UFC 100 was freaking awesome. You had Brock Lesnar.
Right, but your UFC 100 was
getting ahead 5 years.
Yeah, a long ways away. Because so much stuff happens. So right now, it's still the original owners of the UFC in 2000. But then in 01, they're on the verge.
Still a tournament. Right now, right?
It is still just a tournament, yeah. And it's basically seeming like it's maybe happening a few times a year. They're probably trying to put on more because, I mean, they're on the brink of it. Basically, after the long battle of trying to secure their sanctioning, SEG, which is the owner at the time, stood on the brink of bankruptcy. So this is when Dana White sees his opportunity. Let me go look a little bit more at Dana White, and because he was in boxing, so excuse me. So where did it see? Let me look, because he was a manager. He was a boxing manager, and who was he the manager of? Because I was just reading that earlier today. So he was working as a manager for Tito Ortiz and Chuck Liddell. So he was just their manager. And then he met Bob Mayrowitz, the owner of SEG, the then parent company to UFC. When he learned that they were looking to sell, he started putting together a team. He started reaching out like, hey, I need to get himself in there. So he contacts childhood friends Lorenzo Fertitta. And then who was the other one? So now I got to jump back to Lorenzo. Lorenzo and Frank. They end up, so Lorenzo for Tita and then Frank for Tita, they end up, now it doesn't say that they bring Dana in, but they partner with Dana. They bought the UFC in 01 for $2 million.
Yeah, I thought it was something like that.
Yeah, it wasn't. I would say in 01, $2 million is a lot of money, but it's not even, I mean, you wouldn't buy, I don't even think that you could buy ads for in the UFC for that now. So it's really kind of crazy. But so Dana White truly is the person that makes, that puts UFC on the map. Okay? So, I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He just, so he works together as, but I don't know if he was ever an owner or if he was a co-owner. It doesn't say that in what I've read. But he teamed up with those two guys and then they bought it. And then what did I say that the name was? Zuffa LLC was the parent company now. So at that time, so that was in 01.
Yeah, I used to see Zuffa on Spike TV at the end of Ultimate Fighter. It would say all the little credit deals, and it would say Zuffa. It would say on the video game, too. The first UFC game would say Zuffa at the end of it.
Right, okay. Yeah, there you go. All right, so here's my problem. So now we can jump into it, because now you get into the era of where it became what it is today. I mean, Dana White did it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Nobody else could have done it. Nobody else, I mean, could have done it any better than he did. Right. He took a thing that was brand new, and nobody knew what to think of it, and they were, you know, it was a crazy thing. I mean, it's just a tournament, and then they were trying to get pay-per-view viewers, you know, and then it turned into a more of a business, and then they were trying to make it something, but they fell short. So when Dana White and the Zuffa guys, when they buy the UFC for the $2 million, all they were getting was a bankrupt company, and they got the name because they knew the name already had some traction.
Yeah.
And then they got the octagon. But the octagon was like a janky wood octagon.
But it was trademarked.
But it was trademarked.
As an octagon.
And then they did get a handful of fighters that were contracted. But basically they bought the name and they bought the octagon. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now my rant. Okay. Because my rant is, like, you look at all of the boxers that ever boxed that were the greats, right? They had people who were promoters, okay? And the promoters were the ones that, for some reason, took a vast majority of the money. And that was always, so like when you think of Mike Tyson, he had a trainer and he was the dominant Mike Tyson that everybody knew. When he then links up with Bob King, or not Bob King, King. What am I thinking? Don King.
Basically, Dana White just made where his company itself were all of those promoters.
Right.
For
so
each
he,
individual fighter, they made the money off each individual.
So he ends up. So Mike Tyson ends up linking up with Don King. Don King then promoted the fight. Now, all he did was come up with good ideas, and then he promoted the fight. So he said the things, he set the things up. He's like the manager of the fighter. But he made a massive amount of money to promote the fight.
Mm-hmm.
And so now what I feel happened, yes, Dana White is now the president of UFC. He's the face of the UFC, right? But he's the promoter. So now, instead of there being a promoter for this boxer and you can't stand him, like, I never liked Don King. I thought that he basically just stole from the fighters. He did nothing other than, you know, was controversial, and he stole money from these fighters, and I didn't care for it. I'm not saying that about Dana White. Dana White has made a brand huge, but where boxing, anybody could box. Anybody can do it. You don't need anything else. Now, your promoters or being a self-promoter like what Muhammad Ali was, like, those are good things. But anyways, you don't need anybody to be on your corner to get you to those, because it's a business, but it's not a business. You know what I'm saying? So there's just a regulating authority where the UFC, if you fight in the UFC and it's 100%, it's a private owned company. So you're doing all of this for a company. It's a business just to make money. And they tell you, they determine how much money you're going to get paid for a fight. All of this stuff, instead of there being, anyways, I don't care for it because he's just he's the promoter now. He promoted the living crap out of a business, grew a business to be massive and huge, and then the UFC reaps all of the rewards, and Dana White reaps a ton of the rewards, and a few of the fighters, when that you know that they're going to bring in a ton, they'll make a ton, but they don't make as much as they would if they were in boxing or something else. But
yeah, but they're also not going to get
three boxing
matches a year. You're not, you know,
all right, that and you're stuff. Not getting the exposure.
And now you got social media, so you already the UFC gives you the platform. Like Sean O'Malley makes so much money just on the side because people know him from UFC, but right. Now he's doing video games and doing Twitch and all that. He's making so much money on the side.
Right.
You know, like, yeah, if he takes the loss, he gets knocked out, he's just going to drop his stuff in the UFC, but he's still got all of his followers and he's right. Got so many other avenues.
No, it's because smart. It's putting him on a spot where he's now, you know, he's popular.
I'm on both sides of that. Like, I do think they should pay them more, but at the same time, if you look at the pay-per-view buys, like, they don't get as much as a big boxing match because the UFC is huge in America. It's not as huge everywhere else unless someone else's fighter, like, you know, in Italy or whatever, if one of their fighters is fighting, then yeah, then it's going to be big there. But most time it's not.
Right.
I think them going around different countries and hosting events, which sucks for us because then it's like 2 o'clock pay-per-view. But I know.
That one.
But it's huge for them because they're, you know, they get to watch their fighters.
But we did find out on that one that, you know, we can rent the fight and then we can watch it later. So that was freaking awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Now because then I got to go to my Husker game and then come back and watch it. But I'm not knocking it. I mean, I think it's absolutely incredible what Dana White's been able to do. I think that, you know, like, so for him to take something that's on the verge of bankruptcy and then turn it into what it is today is just unheard of. Mm-hmm. And he's put himself in all these great positions to just continue being the president of the company that he built. And I mean, I think that his legacy is there forever. And I don't think that he's, and I'm not comparing him to like Don King, because I wasn't a huge fan of Don King because I thought that he was just a crook and he was just stealing from those guys. But that's just, again, just from what I saw. I haven't done a crap ton of research, but I don't think that about Dana White. So I like Dana White just fine, and it is. I mean, he's the face of the company, and at the end of the day, it is. If you have a card that you don't have a, you know, Conor McGregor fighting on, and you're not paying the fighters that kind of money, then I guess it is what it is. But
yeah, it's all on pay per views. Like, can you get the fans? Can you be exciting in there? Can you be a Mike Tyson?
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Can you bring the pay-per-view buys? If you can, we'll pay you.
Right. Well, I don't even think that you bring in. Unfortunately, I don't even think you bring in the type of money with some of the people is what you're going to with some of the others. So I agree with you 100%. I'm not going to tune into a card that doesn't have a. I mean, I still will because it's. I mean, we just host. You know, we like to host the pay-per-view fights, and then we just all get together. We pitch in a couple bucks, and then we sit together, and it's a reason for a hangout.
You gotta have a couple names that we're fans of, though. I mean, there's people we're fans of in every single weight class, though. So
not
it's
always
hard to miss us,
right?
You know,
right? And I'm not saying always, because you could have a no-name card fight, and if it's been like a few weeks or a month and none of us have really got to hang out, and it's just a good reason
yeah,
for
we'll check it out.
Then we'll get together and do it. But now
and
there's
we'll
a difference.
Fighters.
Right. And but then it's also different because then, you know, I've watched some of those no name cards that turn out where they're just fighting like crazy.
Awesome. Yeah.
And then I've watched some of the big cards that
it's
I'm like
boring, you know?
So excited about.
Yeah.
And
they disappoint you.
Yeah. I know.
You know, like freaking what's his name? Israel Adesanya. That last fight. God, he just didn't look like he was himself at all, did
nope,
he?
No, he didn't.
Good for Sean Strickland though, the
right.
widow, but good for him. He won.
Right.
He had a good game plan.
He did. And it's fun. You know, like I wouldn't have missed a fight back in the day with Ronda Rousey. She was so much fun to watch. And then Amanda Nunes after that. Like, I'd still, if they were doing a Nunes fight, man, I'm there. I'm watching that stuff. That was a lot of fun.
She's in
now,
a big butt.
Conor McGregor, I'm there watching that too. I mean, we watched the last Chuck Liddell fight. That poor guy. He should not have came
His
out and done
that. His chin just went out.
It did. And he
was
so...
Was it Rashad Evans or was it Rampage? One of them too. When they knocked him out, it was glass jaw every time after that.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
But he had been out for a while, and then he pops in to fight somebody. It was Tito Ortiz, wasn't
yeah.
it? Yeah, he came out and fought
him
Tito Ortiz.
Tito, number three.
And, man, if you would have given us that fight 5 to 10 years prior, that would have
been
amazing.
Huge. But it was two older guys that, but we had nothing going
on
there.
Tito
anyway.
Ortiz, I gave him props.
That was Oscar De La Hoya's promotion.
That's right. That was. So that wasn't even a UFC deal,
nope,
was it?
Nope.
Okay. Yeah. That's
I
right.
I just happened to see it on
They're just
Facebook
former UFC
and
guys.
We looked it up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dana White was talking trash on Oscar. He's like, you're going to put two 40, 50 year old guys in there that shouldn't even be in there. And that's all you got, you know?
Yeah. But Tito Ortiz surprised the living crap out of me. I thought that was really, you know, like and I know this is off, but it's still fighting, but the Mike Tyson, versus
yeah, I missed that one.
Roy Jones Jr.
Yeah.
So I was again. That's my era, man. So I really, really was excited about that fight. But Roy Jones Jr. was never a heavyweight. He was a middle heavyweight.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, and he was a champ, and I think he was even light heavyweight
that's
champ.
That's my time growing up was Roy Jones Jr.
Right. Oh,
we
Roy Jones Jr. was so much
fight
fun to
night,
watch.
That boxing match where you had to like climb your way up the ranks and then. You'd eventually get up to the top. Do you remember that? It was on PlayStation 2, I think.
Yeah.
That was a fun game. That was Roy Jones' boxing match or whatever.
Right.
And he was like the face of it. So I was always a fan of his when I was growing up.
Yeah.
But that was it. I knew Roy Jones and I knew the older guys. Other than that, it was UFC. It was Stephon Bonner and Forrest Whitaker. That fight, the Ultimate Fighter 1 championship fight, Forrest Whitaker and Stephon Bonner, is what really boosted the UFC. Because, like, those two going into it, it was 3 rounds or 5 rounds or something. I think it was 3 rounds. That was back when they were just doing 3 rounds.
Mm-hmm.
And they, I watched a documentary and Dana White was talking about that. He said, we were doing that fight. He said, and I'm just getting calls. Like, dude, people are telling people and numbers are just climbing and climbing and climbing. It ended up being, like, one of the most, it was at the time the most watched fight they'd ever have. And it was just two rookie guys that just came in and went to war. And that's what kind of, he said, that's what really, like, stepped us up into, like, prime time where we could be on TV and all that stuff more. He said that and Tito Ortiz versus Chuck Liddell.
Oh, yeah.
Were, like, the two main things that put us on the map.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. That was a dog fight. Do you ever watch that fight?
I don't remember if I have or not.
That is, it's Stephon Bonner and Forrest Griffin, maybe?
I kind of feel like you showed it to me.
And it was just them two beating the crap out of each other, and neither one of them getting knocked out. You have no idea how they're not getting knocked out. Just winded and tired as hell, and they both kept doing it. It was the first time ever, and like it was the first time in a long, I don't even know if it's happened since then, but the Ultimate Fighter, the winner of the Ultimate Fighter gets a contract. Automatically, the people called Dana from the up top people, the owners called him and said, give them both a contract, and he gave them both a contract right there.
Oh, wow.
It's like that was such a good fight. I think they gave it to Forrest. Is who won it. Huh. They gave Stephon Bonner a contract, too.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't happen every
just
day.
It was a great fight.
Oh, that's awesome.
You can still watch it on ESPN Plus.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
It's great.
All right. So, basically, UFC obviously takes off. Then we start doing, like, UFC championship fighting. You were starting to talk about it. They did the reality TV show stuff. Mm-hmm. They gained some absolutely crazy people.
Yeah, a lot of people. Chris Lieben.
Right. Yeah, they gained so...
Koscheck, all kinds of people from the first couple seasons.
Right. So, I mean, it's just... It's crazy. Ton of people came out.
Back then, they were trying to... That's right after they first established weight classes. So, you know, they would do this Ultimate Fighter thing and give the winner a contract. Well, they still need fighters for all the other classes and stuff, and even for that one or whatever. So next thing you know, you're seeing other people that were on it that shouldn't have got contracts still getting contracts. And they're just tough as can be, you know?
Right.
They're just giving them, you don't see that as much now.
Right.
There's so many people trying for it and going for it. If you don't get it in the season, you're probably not going to get another chance.
Yeah, I can see that big time.
Back then, they'd take four or five of you at some point down the road.
So basically then, like what you were talking about earlier with the Spike TV stuff. So then in 05, Spike TV launches The Ultimate Fighter. That's what we're talking about now. And that was in the time slot following WWE Raw. So that's big, right? So, and that's exactly what you're talking about. So, the notable season finale brawl featuring the lightweight heavyweights. Yeah, Forrest Griffin and Stephen Bonner. Stephon Bonner. Yeah, there you go. That's hilarious. So, then they also picked up UFC Unleashed. And basically, it was a lot of those things. Obviously, that's what gained you. You were still, you know, pretty much a kid back in those days.
Me, two of my uncles, all my cousins, my dad.
Right.
We all watched that together.
Right. And I wasn't, like... I think I remember watching like some of the Ultimate Fighter stuff, but not much. I mean, it just wasn't never really my thing.
That's where Nick Diaz came from.
I didn't know him until he got big.
Nick was already in it. Nate put on the Ultimate season.
I didn't even remember watching anything with Nick. Now, I remember watching like Randy Couture, Chuck Liddell. You know, I'm even seeing Frank some of these names. Like they're popping up to Ortiz, so many good people over the years, and I watched mostly, I truly just watched mostly the pay per view stuff.
Yeah.
That's what I didn't spend a ton of time watching the, you know, as they were like getting up to that level. It was more like the championships, and same with boxing. We would watch the big bouts. And I kind of like what I do now. I don't really watch the up and coming. I don't watch a lot of the free UFC stuff myself, but I do tune in because I like to watch the championship stuff.
I just did that today. I had like 45 minutes of nothing to do at work, and I went back and watched this deal on Mike Tyson about before he was a big champion, about how he was just knocking everybody out. And he had this huge like 19 knockout streak, and it ended on this one guy, and then this gangster from New York called him out. So I can't remember his name. Something Green. Some real gangster from New York called him out and said he was going to kick his ass, and Mike Tyson just beat the crap out of him the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about that during the Mike Tyson fights.
Yeah, and then 3 years later, he seen him and tried to confront him. He was high on PCP.
Yep.
Tried to confront Mike, and Mike broke his freaking eye socket, and then he tried to sue him, but they only gave him like $40,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I talked about all of that in the Mike Tyson episode. Yeah. So basically it takes off and it keeps going like crazy. Then you end up getting Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar was really big in the WWE at the time. And then because of some wrestling stuff that he did, he ends up jumping into the MMA. That brings over a lot of wrestling fans. It says
NCAA champion wrestler before that too.
Yeah, it said a bunch of that stuff, but that's the return of Lesnar. I think I passed over.
He might be coming back for 3 years.
No, this was the return in 2010. So he defends his UFC heavyweight title against undefeated interim champion Shane Carwin or Carwin. 1.25 million pay-per-view viewers. Like I say, it got so big, and then it just continued. I remember then all of the sponsorships that came in, all of the everything that came in, it just kept getting bigger, getting bigger.
You could have sponsors on your trunks back then.
Right.
Fighters could make extra money for
2012
that.
Is really when women's MMA starts getting bigger. Ronda Rousey is what put that really on the map.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of briefly talked about that. I actually still have her Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition with her in it.
I had that too.
Yeah. I don't know. I still do like Ronda Rousey. I haven't seen anything she's done in quite a while, but yeah, she was a lot of fun to watch back in the day. Man, she took that one beating and then it was done from then. If anybody hit her after that. So the first one, that was the second one, I believe. The first one was that, it was an Amanda. I can see her blonde hair.
You're talking about Holly Holm.
Holly Holm, there you go. That's Holly Holm. Yeah. Ever since Holly Holm beat her up, I mean, there was no coming back from that. Because
she just lost it. Like, she got too big and was in that swimsuit and everything. You know,
well, what I felt happened was the same that happened to Conor McGregor. Yeah. Is they were the two biggest, most important UFC fighters of the time. They were the guy and girl. If you had Ronda Rousey in the UFC, it was the biggest fights. Everybody tuned in for it. Same thing with Conor McGregor. And then she started being like, I remember watching her on like TV, you know, she's on talk shows and she's on this and she's on that. And then she's in a movie and she's just like, nobody wanted to mess with her. I think that she got so, she quit training. My thing is, I think she got so freaking busy. There was less gym time, less drive for the fight. And then when she went in there, she just thought she was going to whip everybody's butt because she just was what she was doing. And then she got in there on
she
that.
She didn't have the hunger anymore. I mean, she did. You know, when you're coming up and you're broke, you're spending already all your time in the gym and you're fighting and you're like, this is what I got to do. I got to make it.
Right.
You know, now you made it. You don't have that push, right, that drive anymore.
And then she gets there and then she gets into the ring and then she got beat up. And I mean, beat up bad. Yeah. And it was not good. And then she put her nose to the grindstone because, you know, I mean, she just got, you know, pretty bad. And then so she put her nose to the grindstone. She came out, and I'm pretty sure that the next one was against Nunes. And Nunes hit her once, and then it was Ronda didn't know what to do after that.
Nunes was on a different level.
Yeah.
Nunes and then would be the greatest woman fighter for a long time, I think. I don't see anyone. Nobody was really close to that. One girl beat her that one time, but it looked like Nunes just didn't even try. And then Nunes did try and came and just
knocked her the
crap, whooped her two times in a row. Right. She's like, oh, okay, I'll get serious.
Right.
If you want me to.
I don't know. And then there's been some really good, like Rose was awesome there for a while, and then Rose, she lost to that one gal, and then that sucked. But the same thing with McGregor. I felt like McGregor, it was after the Rousey demise, and then, you know, like he was still tough, and he was still competing. And then he went and did the boxing match, and then he made so much freaking money that it just there was no hunger there anymore either. And then it grows, and he still talks about coming back out. I think it's absolutely insane. The dude's got so much money. Yeah, what's the point in tarnishing your reputation even more? I don't see it.
He loves fighting. That's what he is. So he's going to gonna fight again. Dana just talked about that. He'll fight again this year. And Dana said the same thing. He's like, he don't have the hunger anymore. Like, why would you? You have all the stuff, all these businesses going on. Like, you know, you're not going to put your time into it like these people you're fighting against are that don't have anything.
Right. And I tell you right now, if it happens,
I'm going to watch it.
I'm going to watch it too.
I think Chandler might get him. Unless McGregor can hit him with a good shot early. Because he still has that left hand.
Oh, yeah.
So there's no, you know.
I don't know. It hasn't been very competitive for the last few times that he's been in there on his side. He's mostly defense now. And then, you know, so I know everybody says against Cowboy, but all he did was pin him against the fence and he started throwing his shoulder until, you know, and I mean, it wasn't impressive to watch and, you know, but I'll still watch it again tomorrow. But when he went up against Poirier and then he broke his, you know, I mean,
he rocked Poirier both fights though.
He did.
Rocked him. Poirier said,
and I want to watch that one again, man. I think that would, it just sucks that they're getting older and then it's going to be not quite as good.
Yeah.
But anyway, so
there's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable, available at Lowe's. Price varies by Sheen.
UFC grew into what it is today. Obviously, you have all of the names, everybody that we've got today. It's a lot of fun to watch. Okay, so now let's jump into a little bit of the crime, all right, because we haven't jumped into any crime. So one of the first things that I was looking at, and I don't know, do you know the UFC fighter Song Yadong?
I'd have to see a picture.
Okay. I don't have a picture of him right now. I mean, I could probably bring something up, but you can check. So I don't know much about him, but he was robbed along with a friend at the Vallejo gas station. It says on Tennessee Street in the Bay Area.
Hmm.
Yeah. So it says a world-class MMA fighter, latest victim of Bay Area crime.
The bantamweight is ranked 7 right now in the world. Is he still working?
Is he really?
Yeah.
Well, this was published in August of 23.
So this was 25.
Yeah. So this was just a couple months ago. It says it happened around 2 a.m. at a Royal gas station on Tennessee Street. It says they all had ski masks on, every single one of them.
Hmm.
I don't know. I mean, it's like 14 people all came out of the blue. I don't know what that even means.
You're going to rob a UFC fighter, you better play it safe.
Well, it was at gunpoint, so I don't think that he started swinging on nobody. He lost a gold chain. They took one of his rings, everything in his pockets, and once he got a hold of my car keys, he unlocked the car.
Welcome to
That's America. When he realized the man already put the gun in front of my head.
Hmm.
Yeah. He said that, you know, it's a real gun. If he moves his finger, you're done. No chance in the world, champion. So I think that's what is, yeah. So necklace, wallet, his phone, because he might be tough, but he says he knows better than to fight someone with a gun. Yeah. Wow, that's crazy. That's too bad, man. There's a lot of crime happening out in that area right now.
Where was it?
This is the Bay Area. So the Bay Area, from what everything that I've ever is San Francisco Bay. That's what they call the Bay Area. So, I mean, it doesn't say in San Francisco, but the Bay Area, that's what I know it to be. So that's what I believe. It says North Bay. Area responds to a North Bay man. This was Bay Area. So I'm going with that, but I'm not 100% sure. Yeah. And then I got a couple more. Joe Son. So Joe Son was a wrestler, 5'4", 236, so must have been heavyweight. Born in 70, so he's 52 years old. He's a former actor, mixed martial artist, kickboxer, professional wrestler.
Yeah, that's UFC 3.
Is it? It's from that long ago?
Yep, 94.
Okay. Yeah. It says, Pride Fighting Championships in 02. Famously wore a leopard thong with the Pride logo and sported eye makeup. Wore a bowler hat at his entrance. Yeah, he faced Joe Moreira. After a brief exchange of strikes, Moreira landed a hit, which drew blood, and then Son refused to quit fighting. Then he was a professional wrestler in Japan for a short time.
He was in Austin Powers.
He was in Austin Powers, yep.
Yeah, he was the guy that would...
It says that he's best known for his role in the 1997 Austin Powers International Man of Mystery.
Guessing he was the guy that would take the shoe off or whatever and fling it at you.
He probably was, because it says, as Random Task, a parody of James Bond character Oddjob.
Yeah.
So I think he was.
Remember that when he hit Austin? He's like, who throws a shoe?
Yeah, dude, that dude was built. Yeah, he wasn't very tall, but he was really built.
I didn't know he was a UFC fighter.
Yeah, so he was a UFC fighter, but it was the original. Yeah. So so I guess let's classify it right now as either pre-Dana or post-Dana. All right, so he was pre-Dana.
Yeah.
Pre-Dana. So this dude, since his retirement, because he retired from all of this stuff in 02. So I think after he refused to keep going in that one fight, he then just decided he was done. So I think that he tried other things. But in 08, man, it's kind of like he's done nothing but bad stuff since then. So he gets arrested in 08 for kicking in the door of his roommate's car. Gee, many Christmas. violation for failing to report to the Department of Probation. And so then he was getting probation violations. He was required to provide a DNA sample. And then in as a part of a plea agreement to that, he's forced to give a copy of his DNA sample. So when he gives his DNA, that was linked to a gang rape on Christmas Eve from 1990.
Jeez.
So he's already in custody for this probation violation. Now he's arrested in 08. Wow. For 5 counts of rape, 2 felony counts of forcible sodomy, 2 felony counts of sodomy in concert by force, 7 felony counts of forcible oral copulation, 1 felony count of sexual penetration by foreign object by force. He faced a maximum sentence of 275 years.
These women are dudes. I mean, I guess it doesn't make a
it
difference.
It doesn't say. It doesn't say yet.
Jeez.
So, it's him and an accomplice.
Fighter, he could probably walk up to me right now and sodomize me with something. I don't think there's anything I could do about it.
Wow. So, him and an accomplice tortured and repeatedly raped the victim before releasing her with her parents, or with her pants tied around her eyes. During the trial, she came on and she said that son had told her, "It's Christmas. This is your lucky day."
Wow.
Wow. No way. So before his trial began in August of 2011, the initial charges were dropped, having expired due to statute of limitations. Son was then charged. So he doesn't even get what? So, all right. So then he's then charged with conspiracy to commit murder and torture, crimes which have no statute of limitations. Wow. So in late August, he was found guilty of 1 felony count of torture. Dude, that is insane.
He's had a really good lawyer.
So during the trial, the Orange County District Attorney's Office maintained that both Son and his co-defendant, Santiago Lopez Gaitan, pistol whipped their female victim, repeatedly threatened to kill her, and raped her before finally releasing her. Gaitan, who was 40, pleaded guilty to 1 felony count of each. So kidnapping, sodomy by force in concert, rape in concert, forcible oral copulation, and forcible rape, with sentencing enhancement for committing rape while armed with a firearm. Wow. So he was sentenced in January of 2011 to 17 years and 4 months in state prison.
All he got was 17 years.
Yeah.
But that should be life.
But Sohn didn't get any of that because they waited too long and they didn't try him until August. And then statute of limitations hit him, so he doesn't get none of that. He gets sentenced to 7 years to life. But that was for the murder and torture. Conspiracy to commit more murder and torture is what they went after him for. So then, in October of 2011, he's accused of killing his cellmate, Michael Thomas Graham, who was serving 2 years for failure to register as a sex offender. The killing happened in October of 2011 on B Yard Reception Building 5 at Wasco State Prison. Oh, he beat him to death. The beating occurred at 5:25 p.m. Graham died 25 minutes later from multiple blunt force trauma. After the killing, he was moved to solitary confinement on September 13, 2013. 2 years later, he's charged with Graham's murder. At his trial in 2017, what is the taking so long? Holy crap. He's found guilty of voluntary manslaughter and receives 27 years.
So he's going to die in there.
Yeah, he's going to now. Yeah. Which
he might have had a chance to get out, which he didn't deserve.
No, he didn't deserve a chance to get out. Wow, that's crazy. Man.
He probably sodomized that guy, too.
Jeez, I don't know, man. That is unreal.
Jeez, what a fucking weirdo.
Yeah. That's, man, what a crazy turn. This guy went from, you know, I mean, fighting and fighting and fighting, but then he went into movies for a little bit, then he went back to fighting, and then it's like it all just kind of fell apart. Yeah. But he was born in South Korea. He was a citizen of the United States. He's still currently incarcerated in California State Prison. So apparently he went by a name for a little while. Iron Ball? I don't know.
Weird.
His MMA record was 4-4? No, 0-4. Fought 4 times, lost 4 times by knockout. 2 by knockout, 2 by submission, and he had 0 wins. Yeah.
He must be his professional. I wonder what his amateur was.
Yeah, I don't know. His amateur had to have been a little bit better than that.
Yeah, to be able to get pro. Well, then again, back then, they probably were taking whatever they can get.
Right. So, well, yeah, because we're talking early stuff. But yeah, and then again, you know, this was, the record probably didn't mean near as much because there wasn't really going to be a champion. You had to get through the whole goddamn tournament. Mm-hmm. You know, so, yeah. So, I mean, yeah, if he tried 4 different times and he just kept losing and it was out of the, I mean, I don't know how the brackets went, but I guess you lose, you out. The first, you know, round, what I mean? Yeah. So, all right, next guy we're going to talk about real quick, which, I mean, just however long it takes us, I guess. But Cain Ramirez Velasquez, born in 82. He's one of them young guys that's not that old at all.
First guy to beat Brock Lesnar.
Is that, is he?
I think he's the one that took the title from him, yeah.
Yeah, well, that could be. So, let's see. His years active was, so he was definitely post Dana. So,
I'm pretty sure
he was 06 to 19. Oh, wow. So, he,
yeah, I'm pretty sure
he just actually fought, or now wrestling was 22. 19 to 22, he's a professional wrestler now.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that when Lesnar, he came in, he lost to Frank Mir to the leg deal. He hated Frank Mir. Then he came in, he beat Frank Mir, like, bad. Then he got his title, and then he kind of had, like, a reign. And I'm pretty sure Kane came in, because Kane was tiny compared to Brock. And no one expected Kane to beat him, and Kane just beat the crap out of him.
Huh.
Yeah. And Kane, so Kane was a heavyweight champion, because he took it from Brock Lesnar. I'm pretty sure. Does it say that?
There's Frank Mir. He was set to fight Frank Mir in 2012. He was moved up to face Junior Dos Santos another guy was suspended for having elevated testosterone levels. Velasquez defeated. Oh, he instead faced Antonio Silva. He beat Antonio Silva in a first round TKO. They had a rematch. He had a torn rotator in 2011.
Yeah, he became a two-time
heavyweight. Yeah, he fought then champion Brock Lesnar in UFC 121.
Beat him.
And beat then him.
He lost later down the road.
Defeated Lesnar TKO in the first round.
Yeah.
Earning knockout of the night.
No one saw that coming. Because, dude, when he got in there with Lesnar, Lesnar just towered. I mean, Lesnar was way wider, taller, just towered over him. No one expected it.
Huh.
And Velasquez just kicked his freaking ass.
Yeah, so
and then Velasquez lost his title a few fights after that. And then he got it back. So, I mean, he's probably a future Hall of Famer. He was
expected to make his first title defense against Junior Dos Santos, but the fight was moved, and then he lost that fight. So, must have been to Junior Dos Santos, but he had a torn rotator cuff. And then he was set to fight Frank Mir, but that gets moved. He instead fights Antonio Silva. He beats Antonio Silva. He goes into the next one. For a rematch with Dos Santos, he defeated Dos Santos in a dominant performance. Unanimous decision, 50-45, 50-43, 50-44.
Jeez, you don't see that.
Yeah.
Very often. Then his
first title defense was again Antonio Silva. He beat him. First round, TKO. A rubber match with Junior Dos Santos took place. Velasquez TKO at 309 of the fifth round. He then selected Fabrico Werdum.
Fabricio Werdum.
Yeah. And then
that was a bad
he pulled out of the bout due to a torn meniscus and strained MCL. He underwent surgery He rescheduled the bout to fight him in a back and forth affair. Velasquez lost the fight via a guillotine choke submission in the third round. Yeah.
He was always fun to watch.
It says that he was a rematch with Weirdom. Weirdom?
Yeah, I know.
Was expected, but both fighters backed out. Then he next faced Travis Brown. He won in the closing seconds of the first round. He then was scheduled against Weirdom again. They failed to approve Vasquez for the fight, determining that he was unfit due to bone spurs in his back. And then he went on. He was done. That was 16. Said as the first fight of his new 4-fight contract, he headlined UFC on ESPN 1 against Francis Ngannou in 19.
Ngannou, you know Ngannou.
Yeah, I think I know Ngannou. Yeah. I'm terrible. I'm so bad with their names.
He's the dude that's boxing Tyson Fury. He's the one that kind of lost a little bit. Then he knocked out, what's his name? And then he's like, well, you know what? I knocked someone out. I deserve to be Conor McGregor. So he's been gone for 3 years. He quit the UFC. Like, you guys need to pay me way more. And now he's fighting Tyson Fury because he wants to get a big paycheck.
Yeah, well, he apparently knocked out. I hope
Tyson Fury beats the crap out of him.
I do too.
I really do.
Yeah. Well, I like Tyson Fury. I just watched one of his bouts.
Do you see Tyson Fury stare off with him?
Yeah.
He like crouched down, tried to tickle him.
So he lost that fight in less than 30 seconds in round one.
Velasquez did.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So then he goes into the WWE in 19. He revealed he would be withdrawing from the USADA testing pool to focus on professional wrestling. And then he retired from the MMA. Then he goes into wrestling. He goes into the WWE. He's on SmackDown. He was accompanied by Rey Mysterio. He eventually led an attack on Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You got to see the WWF's play on that. Like, let's bring in the guy that beat him and got rid of his title and have him fight Brock.
That's hilarious.
I bet that was cool.
So, and then he goes to AAA. Apparently he pops out on a AAA fight. This is still WWE stuff. So Psycho the Clown, Pinocchio.
I don't
follow a lot of it anymore. I did watch the WWE F.
F when it was F, yeah.
When it was F, I did. So let's jump into the crime of this portion. And this is not that old. But, I don't know. I don't want to get too crazy. So let's just kind of go into what happened. I think he's still fighting it.
He's a true American.
So I don't think that there's, it's not done yet as far as what I've seen. So he's still out. He posted bail. So in February of 22, Velasquez, allegedly shoots a guy in Santa Clara County, California, and he shoots at a guy. He hits an unintended victim. So he allegedly intended to shoot Harry Golarde Jr., who had been arrested prior to the shooting incident for possibly committing child sexual abuse on Velasquez's daughter at a daycare. And then an armed Velasquez chased Golarde Jr., his stepfather, and mother. Velasquez then rams the vehicle before pulling out his firearm and shooting into the car. So he misses the guy and instead hits his stepfather and causes that guy no life-threatening injuries.
Well, that stepfather should be thankful that he's not dead. And allegedly, if it's true, which...
Right, so
I'm guessing things are leaning towards it.
Right, so there was... We'll put it this way. There was enough evidence, most likely, to arrest this Golarde Jr. for the possible sexual assault on Velasquez's daughter, and Velasquez didn't take it very well. He rammed the car and he shoots into the car.
I don't blame him. I think there should be an immunity to that.
So, I mean, any way you look at it, he still doesn't hit that guy. He hits another guy. So that's what he's being charged with, attempted first-degree murder. He's arrested on March 2nd. He's formally charged with attempted first-degree murder, as well as several additional charges. So shooting into the motor vehicle, 3 counts of assault with a firearm, 3 counts of assault with a deadly weapon, 1 count willfully discharging a firearm from a vehicle, 1 count of carrying a loaded firearm with the intent to commit a felony. That must be a California law. He was denied bail at first because the risk was too great, which I'm not going to, I mean, yeah, the risk was great. I mean, there was, that Gallardi Jr. probably needed to be in protective custody at that point. But apparently his lawyer presented 37 letters of support from people such as Dana White, Khabib Nurmagomedov.
Nurmagomedov.
There you go.
All messed up.
I know. I can't say all of these names. But basically, a whole bunch of names I can't say. Daniel Cormier.
We've Scott Coker.
I know Daniel Cormier. Yes. I also know Khabib. I just can't say some of the names.
You got me messed up.
Yeah, Demergadagadov. Yeah, I can't say it. I don't got it. So a judge granted a continuance to May 6th. May 6th at a plea hearing. The second continuance was granted. They pushed the hearing back. He was denied bail a second time. Eventually was able to post bond. He was incarcerated for 8 months. He was granted a $1 million bail. He posted it immediately. He was released from custody the next day. So he's placed under house arrest until the conclusion of his trial. So that's still all ongoing. He participated in December in a Tempe, Arizona event. And he won a match. So he did a professional wrestling thing in Tempe, Arizona. And now he's apparently filed a, or maybe his son has filed a civil lawsuit against Gallardi Jr. So then that's all. Now this is saying that it was on, so that on behalf of Velasquez's son. So I'm not sure it was a family, it was potentially a family member. They're saying maybe it was a son that was assaulted, not a daughter. So any way you look at it, not good. It's a terrible situation. But again, you know, some of these situations until all the evidence is out there, you don't know all the details. I don't have.
I bet Kane knows the details. I bet his child said it to him. I would assume.
Oh, I can imagine. Yeah, I can imagine that. You know, it was out of pure anger that mm-hmm. you know was fired, and I don't know. I'm guessing one bullet flying into a car and hitting the other guy was probably not as bad as what would have happened if he would have got his hands on him. This dude's a trained killer.
Yeah, that's it right there. Brown pride. Big picture. It's Cain Velasquez.
Yep.
That tiny little dude beat the crap out of Brock Lesnar.
Well, I don't think he's that small of a dude.
To us, he's big. But to Brock Lesnar, Brock Lesnar's huge. They had to custom
this
make
dude
gloves
is 6 foot
him.
One. 241 pounds, solid muscle. That's a big dude.
Yeah, that's a very big dude.
Yeah, and obviously,
imagine that 6'1", 240 pounds, solid muscle, was
beat up.
Tiny compared to Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, Brock Lesnar's huge.
It's
he
a freaking
huge.
Nature.
I'm pretty positive I watched that fight because I remember watching a fight with Brock Lesnar and everybody was like, "Oh my God, Brock Lesnar!" And then you watch the fight, and I'm pretty sure it was this fight because it was all one-sided. Brock Lesnar got his ass
kicked. He started off good. I think he got one good punch in the beginning. Yeah, he was like, there he is. And then out of nowhere, he came alive. I was like, whoa.
Yeah. Unreal, man.
This
so,
a beast.
It is. I got a couple more because you can't. I mean, I don't know how you do crime in the UFC without talking about John Jones.
John Jones? The,
John Jones.
Pound for pound number one fighter of all time. The GOAT.
So you got him.
He's the GOAT.
I like Jones. Jones always love wins. Jones. He's always fun to watch. I mean, hell, on our TikTok page, I posted when we watched the last Jones fight. I mean, shit, he hadn't fought in forever, and then we did a yeah. So if you guys want to see that, go check out our TikTok. He's been charged with a bunch of stuff. So
he's a kid that got, you know, that worked his ass off and got famous and had a bunch of money, so he's gonna
And he's just naturally good. Some of these guys are just naturally, you know,
he's
like
a fighter.
He is. And so he got charged with a DUI on multiple occasions, it says. 2012, he smashed his car into a utility pole in New York. Another time, got another DUI, was considerably worse. His car at the time.
At least he's not doing crack.
Oh, geez. He struck a pregnant woman, injuring her arm. He fled the scene of the crime. He originally faced 18 months in jail, but he got supervised probation.
She's pregnant. He might have thought she was in his weight class.
And then he... So he got convicted in 2020 for another DUI after discharging a firearm in the front seat of a running car. Just crazy, stupid stuff that he does. Jason Miller, nicknamed the Mayhem. Apparently, multiple convictions. He's been charged with vandalism, one felony count of first-degree burglary, unlawful taking of a vehicle, grand theft auto. He was sentenced to 364 days in jail. He accepted a plea deal.
he didn't do the 364 days?
It doesn't say. These are more...
I'll do whatever you want. Just don't make me do just shy of a year.
It says he accepted a plea deal that had a felony count of attempted grand theft was dismissed. Yeah. And he got 364 days in jail. So apparently he did serve... some of that time, anyway. He's got an MMA record of 23 wins, 10 losses, and one no contest. So funny that they say that. Dmitry Sosnovsky, undefeated heavyweight MMA fighter. He was found guilty of kidnapping and extortion. Handed a lengthy prison sentence of 8.5 years. Along with four fellow suspects, kidnapped a Russian businessman. They threatened to murder him unless he paid him 300,000 rubles. However,
What the fuck is a ruble?
That's what their money is called.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not what like it it's not like
to
rocks.
The U.S. dollar?
I don't know. You'd have to look that up, but it's not much.
Like 24.75.
Yeah, I'm guessing that he makes more than that on a fight. Yeah. The extortion did not go as planned, and the man refused to cave to their demands. So when Sosnovsky and his fellow kidnappers left the room, the victim escaped and subsequently contacted the authorities.
He just walked out of the sunset. Yeah, we should log it. Nah, he ain't going.
He ain't going anywhere. Scared. If you see me, he know me. He knows me.
Yeah, I'm in a car. Let's go.
Yeah, let's go grab a bite.
He's not going anywhere.
Let's go grab
some McDonald's. I'm fucking out of here.
I'm out of here. Lee Murray, he competed once in the UFC, defeating Jorge Rivera via arm triangle submission. So his MMA record lies at 8 wins, 2 losses, 1 draw, 1 no contest. His actions outside the octagon apparently were far more notable. He was arrested in 06 for his role in the Securitas Depot robbery. So it was a huge heist that took place in Kent, England. Murray and multiple other criminals working in tandem made off with over 53 million yen or euro, whatever the English version of that, in cash.
That's quite a bit.
Sentenced to 10 years in jail and later extended to 25.
Damn.
So, yeah. So apparently he was a pretty good UFC fighter, and then now he... I actually believe I watched a documentary on that, and that's a pretty crazy. And then we have Joe Son, arguably one of the most deplorable associated with the MMA, blah, blah, blah. Competed once in the UFC, losing by submission. But again, that was all pre-Dana. Currently in jail after being found guilty of a felony count of torture, multiple counts of sexual assault. We just talked about John. So, So those were all the cases that I looked up. I figured we would chat for quite a bit of it, so we didn't make it, like, there wasn't a ton of laughing on this one, but we had a lot of information, and it was a lot of fun. So, yeah. All right. We're going to wrap this bad boy up. Well, we've been going for a long time on this one. I don't know how long it's been. So, Everybody go check us out. All of our social media stuff, everything, at Crackin' Crime, all over the social media stuff. So you got your Facebooks, again, your TikTok. We've got Instagram. We've got Twitter. We've got...
it's not Twitter. It's X.
Oh, yeah, X. Which is still Twitter. I don't even know why you'd pay $48 billion for something and then go, you know what I'm going to do? I'll change the name of it.
You got money like that. I mean, he didn't like those guys because they were silencing Trump and everyone. They were silencing everyone.
I know. I get the whole
even
thing.
Even if you don't agree with someone, you don't silence them. It's the freedom of speech. That's America. That's what it stands for.
Right. And I mean, I get all of it. And he's obviously making money because they're obviously making money if they were able to evaluate the company.
I kind of like that he did that. He's like, because no, you just don't do that. You don't buy a well-established company and then change the name. You don't do that.
Because you obviously buy the company for the brand. That's why they bought UFC for $2 million.
He literally said, fuck you, I'm going to change it. I bet it's still going to be all right. You know, and he did it. So I'm like, that's kind of cool.
I know. I think
you
it's unreal.
You banned him and then he did this. Like, I know. It is.
It's unreal. Nobody else but him. And the fact that people are still there. But guess who's there? We're there. We're on there. We're at Crackin' Crime. Check us out there. Everything at Crackin' Crime. Patreon. God damn it. We put in a ton of work for you guys, and that's what we do. Go check us out. Become a family member of ours on Patreon, or we also have Apple subscriptions, right? So I haven't been talking about Apple subscriptions because it's new. Yeah, so go check us out. Apple subscriptions.
Do it. Por favor, Miss Large.
That's right. So, and then, you know, before long, we're going to have something, whatever the version of that is, on Spotify. Yeah, because we're also there. Everywhere you listen to your podcast, we are there. Check us out on YouTube because guess what? We are there. I just got done doing a...
MySpace?
We are on MySpace. That's one of our biggest. MySpace. Yeah, we're probably the most active on MySpace. Yeah, okay. Check us out there. I just got done doing a review of Poppy's Patina on... I got an 86 Chevy pickup because also our podcast is on TilsonCustoms.com. That's our website. Go check us out there. But we, at Tilson Customs, we just did a review of the Poppy's Patina. That was absolutely awesome.
You can still go to MySpace. Look at that. This is all stuff on MySpace.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Well, I know. Look. It's at Crackin' Crime. I'm joking. We're not actually there. But yeah, we just did that review. We're working on editing. I'm making Jacob learn how to do it, so he's going to do a bunch of video editing on it for me. But I did do some pictures and posts on that on Facebook, everything. So check out that too, Tilson Customs, and then check out the website because that's where you can find the podcast too. The home of Crackin' Crime is at TilsonCustoms.com. So go check out all of that stuff, and then. I got nothing else. You got anything?
No, I don't have any other businesses or anything to advertise.
You don't? Man, that's too bad. That's crazy. All right. So, right. So, we're putting all that stuff together. We're hoping to bring you guys some awesome content. So, that's why we're working on all these different things. And it's fun. You know what I'm saying? So, anyway, go check out all of those avenues. And then everybody that's been, you know, reviewing with us, working with us, you know, go check out all of their stuff too. So, you've heard all their names. All the stuff that we've done, and we do have the new one coming out that I just did with Crime Over Wine is where we just did the last one. That one doesn't come out yet, but again, it will. I'll post all that on our social media, so check us out. All right, I got nothing else. Nothing from you?
Nada.
All right, awesome. Thank you, guys. We appreciate it. And let's go out with some of our fabulous music that I've yet to change because we're still working on a better song. But we're going to... Oh, it's good.